When we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God was poured out on us. We were cleansed. We were renewed. We were made new. And it's important to realize this passage is in an aorist tense. What does that mean? Completed action in the past, which he poured it out one time. He's not pouring it out over and over again. You've been given the Spirit of God once as a pledge, we see in Scripture, when we are saved.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, the message today is a powerful reminder of what God did for us while we were far from Him.
You know, Dave, I don't think it's possible to be reminded too often about what the Lord has done for us and why He did it. You see, the truth of His saving work on our behalf is so humbling and so amazing, and it motivates us to live our lives for Him so that He will be brought all praise, honor, and glory. So with that in mind, how is it we live lives like this? That's what we're going to discover on today's edition of Equipping the Saints. Our text is Titus chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verses 5 through 8.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we had done in righteousness, but according to His mercy. And now we're going to see the means. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. He's going to talk about the fact that we were cleansed, we were made new, we were renewed. We were just like them in that pig pen of sin. But God did all this for us. Now, just on a side note, notice in these verses the Trinity involved in salvation. Verse 5, the Holy Spirit, the Father, He poured out in the beginning of 6, and then in the middle of 6 through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, that's not the point of this passage to discuss that, but we see that as we go through it. But the point here Paul is making is what God did to save us when we were just like them. The extent He went when we were like those, and ultimately should be a motivation for how we treat those. But what did God do to save us when we were dead, non-believers, dead to Him, those same people we're tempted to malign right now? What did God do for us? What is He willing to do for them? He says He saved us, verse 5, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, and then the means, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Here we have the means in which we were saved. What God did, how He brought about the fact that He saved us. He saved us and He did something in that process, and this is what He did. And what He did, because of how bad we were, and then what He did should motivate us to righteous behavior towards those who were just like the way we were. First thing we see here, that we were washed through new birth, regeneration, middle of 5, by the washing of regeneration. I go, well, what does that mean? The washing of regeneration. Well, the term washing comes from the Greek noun lutro, which speaks of bathing or a bath. Speaks of completely washing yourself in a bath. And the term translated regeneration comes from two Greek words, palin, which means again, and genesis, we get our idea of Genesis from that, which means birth. We have the idea of birth again, thus the idea of being born again. Now, there are other passages that use the term born again. It's a different word. This word here, regeneration, is only used here and in Matthew 19. And with that in mind, we see what regeneration is, and we get an idea of that if we look in that other passage in Matthew 19, 28. And I'm going to read it to you, Matthew 19, 28, where He uses this word. Then Peter answered and said to Him, this is Peter talking about, we left everything, Lord, what's going to happen for us? What's the benefit of following You completely? Then Peter said to Him, behold, we have left everything and followed You, then what will there be for us? And Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, that you who have followed Me in the regeneration, that's our word, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you shall sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Here's what's going to happen in the regeneration, our word. And I think he's pointing to that eschatological or end times renewal when Christ has defeated his enemies and all of sin is taken care of and he will bring them in this renewal and they will do these things. Speaks of renewal or the new birth or regeneration. It really goes with the idea of being born again. And it's in the context of this new birth we are cleansed. We are washed from our sins. Now certainly baptism is a outward picture of an inward reality in which we are united with Christ to his death, burial, and resurrection. But also there's a picture there of this washing. But that's not how we were washed. We were not washed with water. We weren't washed by deeds done in righteousness. We were washed ultimately by his Holy Spirit. He says, by the washing of regeneration. And as I shared earlier, this verb luo or lutro speaks of taking a bath. Taking a bath. And there's a really interesting passage in John 13, which is so incredibly misunderstood in the church. And there was a church I saw last week who had come and was doing foot washings, trying to imitate this passage in John 13. That's not the point of John 13. John 13 will actually help us understand what this idea of being washed looks like. Can you turn with me to John chapter 13? And evidently when we misinterpret the Word of God or we don't have the Spirit of God, we start to see things wrongly. And indeed, the practice of foot washing, as we will see, is not what Jesus was talking about here. It was much greater than that. It's much greater than just serving one another. Yes, we serve one another and the Scripture is clear about that, but it is much greater. John 13, verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments and taking a towel, he girded himself about. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel with which he girded. And he came to Simon Peter and he said to him, that's Peter to the Lord, Lord, do you wash? And it's important to realize this word here is not luo, but it's nipto. It's a different word. Do you nip-toe my feet, Peter said. And Jesus answered and said, what I do, you do not realize now. That's the key to understanding this passage. It's not what is obvious. There's something more to it. What I do now, you don't understand. He says, what I do, you do not realize, but you shall understand hereafter. And Peter said to him, never shall you nip-toe my feet or wash my feet. Jesus answered and said, if I do not wash or nip-toe you, you have no part in me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, he who has bathed, luo, who has been completely cleaned, who has been washed, luo, needs only to nip-toe his feet. If you've taken a bath, all you got to do is clean your feet because they got dirty. That's the point he's saying here, but there's a larger point. Verse 10, Jesus said to him, he who has luoed or bathed needs only to nip-toe his feet, but is completely clean. If you bathe, you're completely clean. And you are clean, not all of you. Now he's going to explain what clean means. For he knew the one who was betraying him and the reason that he said, not all of you are clean. There was one non-believer there. It was Judas. Not all of you are clean. Not all of you are washed. Not all of you are luoed. And so when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, he reclined again at the table and said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If the Lord and the teacher washed your feet, so also you ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you. Now, if we don't see the whole passage in context, we're going to go out and wash people's feet. I think in context, he's saying, you've been bathed. It's about being cleansed. The point is, you've already been bathed. All you need is your feet washed. Believers get caught up in sin as they go in the world. They get a little dirt on them. They are cleansed. They are forgiven, but they get caught up in sin. And believers should be washing one another's feet. And we see that in other passages. And I think that's what he's saying here. You serve one another by coming alongside. He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. You are clean. I believe that's what he's talking about. And as we go back to our passage, we see by the luo of regeneration, by the washing of regeneration. If you're in your sin, you're dirty. You're dirty. Your sins are as scarlet. It is an ugly thing before a holy God, and it's ugly before us. You need to be washed of your sins. You need to be cleansed of your sins. Now, what's the means of this spiritual washing of regeneration? Was it done by deeds we had done in righteousness? Was it done by us going and getting baptized? Was it done by something we did? Not by deeds done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration. A merciful God reached out to our pitiful state and sent his son Jesus Christ to die for us. And what specifically happened there was we were washed, made new, born again. We were regenerated. Now, what is the means that the Spirit of God regenerates a dead person? What is the means? Some theologies would say it just happens at God's will. Well, it certainly does, but God has a means that he does this. Ephesians chapter 5 gives us some help. In 1 Peter 1, Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed, it's already done, by the washing of water of the word. Christ cleansed the church through the word. And we know 1 Peter chapter 1, 23, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable. That is, through the living and abiding word of God, the means God spoke your new birth was the same way he brought into the first creation. God said, light be, and light was. He spoke it into existence, and he speaks through his word, the gospel concerning Christ, new birth into us by the power of his spirit, and we are washed and regenerated. All flesh is like grass in the glory, like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord abides forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It is the means he takes, his inspired word by his spirit, cleanses us and causes us to be born again. But there's more to it. That's one element. There's more to it, but it's a beautiful element. It's a beautiful picture of being washed, of being cleansed. Isn't that wonderful? You know your sins are forgiven. You know you are not dirty. You know you are cleansed. You are washed. You are renewed. You are regenerated. It is the truth concerning what Christ has done for us, paying the penalty for our sins. When this was applied to us, we were washed, regenerated, as we see the Holy Spirit was poured out upon us. I want to ask you, have you been washed of your sins? Truly washed? I mean, most people try to wash themselves from their sins. Next door, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they're trying to wash themselves by deeds of, quote, righteousness. It doesn't work. It says, he saved us. Have you been washed? Have you been cleansed of your sin? When I ask people, when did they get saved? And they say, well, I was baptized at this date. And I say, no. When did you get saved? Well, I went to church when I was a kid. When did you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? When were you convicted of your personal sin before a holy God and come to him in absolute dependence and humility and say, Lord God, I have sinned and I need to be saved. And believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, his only provision, who died for your sins and rose from the dead. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And when you are saved, you are washed. And we sing the praises of a God who cleanses us. And there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Our sins are as far as the east as the west. We are forgiven. Paul shares David's words. Romans chapter 4, verse 7, blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven, whose sin has been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. You see, if you're not saved, the Lord's going to take your sin into account. You will give an accounting of yourself. And apart from the righteousness of Christ, you are doomed. But God's merciful. And he washed us. And he cleansed us. But again, some of you are not washed of your sins. Jeremiah 2:22, as Jeremiah speaks, God speaks through Jeremiah concerning Israel that thought they were clean. They thought they were following the Lord because they were doing all God's stuff, but they were really perverted in their understanding. And he gives this illustration in Jeremiah 2:22. Although you wash yourself with lye and use much soap, the stain of your iniquity is before me, declares the Lord God. Proverbs 30:12. There is a kind who is pure in his own eyes, yet is not washed from his filthiness. Maybe you think you're pure before the Lord, but if it's not because of Christ, you've not been washed of your filthiness. And God is a gracious God, a merciful God, a kind God, a loving God. You can be washed today. Revelation 1:5, he says, "And Jesus, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of earth, to him who loved us and released us," or literally, he washed us from our sins by his blood. By his blood. And once you're washed, you'll recognize that you were once a sinner living for your own lust. We were once all there, but now we've been cleansed. I love this passage. I was walking around door to door, sharing about the church about 7 years ago. And I came to one door and a lady came. She said, I won't share for the children. She was in a certain type of relationship that was not godly. And she said, "Does your church talk about this?" And I said, "Yes, it does." And I shared this passage, 1 Corinthians 6:9. "Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers," kind of hits everybody there, "shall inherit," and we're going to see this, "be heirs, inherit the kingdom of God, and a wonderful portion, and such some of you were, but you were washed." And I said, we're going to share to you the God who washes you from your sins, because we were all once this way, and God washed us. And now because we are cleansed, we can draw before him. Hebrews 10:22, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean of an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." That symbolism that we are cleansed. What's the point, brothers and sisters? When you were dead to God, living unrighteously, God was kind and merciful to you, not by any work of your own. God washed you and cleansed you of your sins. Therefore, be ready for every good deed. Malign no one. Be forbearing in the context of meekness towards all men, that God might sovereignly use those good deeds he is doing in you to bring about the sharing of the gospel and the saving of souls. What a wonderful truth. We didn't deserve it, but God cleansed us. Well, notice he goes on and he talks about the second parallel phrase to washing regeneration. He says, the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Back to verse 5 in Titus 3. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which were done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration, and then he says, and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Not only were we washed and cleansed of our sins, renewed, we see here, made born again, we see that we were also renewed, the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And this Greek word, it's anakinos, the word ana and then kinos. There's two words in Greek to speak of new, neos and kinos. And the neos speaks of new in relationship to time. Kinos speaks of new in relation to character or nature. If we bought a new car, it would be a neos car, new in relation to time. But someone who has been born again, who has been cleansed, washed, one who is anakinos, he has been renewed, not in relationship to time, but in relationship to nature or character. He's become a new creation. Once dead, separated from God, now alive, now saved, now a new creation. Anakinos. We see the same fact in 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, if you are in Christ, you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been placed into the body of Christ, you are united to him because of his death, burial, and resurrection. If you are in Christ, he is a kinos creature, a new creation, new in terms of nature. The old things have passed away. That old person is dead. Behold, new things, kinos things have come by the renewing, anakinos, by the Holy Spirit, which he poured out richly, verse 6, upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Folks, when we were renewed by the Spirit of God as he washed us with the Word, we were born again by his all-powerful, life-giving Word, living and abiding Word. By the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by his truth. We were renewed. We were made new. New creations. And it's interesting, this word is only used, as I shared earlier, in Romans 12. Romans 12, 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the anakinos, the making new of your mind, this renewal of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that is which good and acceptable and perfect. Now, there are some different scholars as they look at this passage and they say, well, does this renewal speak of when we were saved, or does it speak of an ongoing renewal? And certainly we see an ongoing renewal in Romans 12, 2 with the Word of God. But it's my view that he's speaking about a one-time renewal when we were first saved, because it's in line with the verse that says, he saved us, and this is how he did it, and that's what went on at that time. We are renewed when we are saved by the gospel of Christ, by the means of his Spirit-inspired, powerful word. We are renewed also when our minds are transformed by the Spirit-inspired, powerful word of God. And then notice the wonderfully gracious language, which, verse 6, he poured out richly upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. God gave his Spirit richly. When we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God was poured out on us. We were cleansed. We were renewed. We were made new. And it's important to realize this passage is in an aorist tense. What does that mean? Completed action in the past, which he poured it out one time. He's not pouring it out over and over again. You've been given the Spirit of God once as a pledge, we see in Scripture, when we are saved. We do not get saved and then some later time receive the Spirit of God, as some denominations, charismatic and Pentecostals, would say, wrongly, based on a misinterpretation of Scripture, but of what God did in the beginning of the church, a special time. That's not what Scripture shows concerning the Spirit of God. We see ultimately in Scripture that the Spirit was poured out upon us richly. It's a done deal. So many passages to validate too. I'll mention a couple here. Acts chapter 19, later on in Acts, the Apostle Paul, as he meets these Ephesian disciples of John, he says, and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? That's when you receive the Spirit. Did that happen to you?
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Friend, before we close today's broadcast, I want to talk to you directly about your eternal destiny. If you were to die right now, do you know where you would spend eternity? If you're unsure, here are some important questions to answer. Do you believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness, that you've sinned against a holy God? Do you believe that you are unable to do anything about your sinful condition? Do you believe that Jesus is God, that he took on human flesh, that he came and lived the sinless life and went to the cross and died for your sins? He was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later. Do you believe that his work on the cross was sufficient to forgive you of your sins? Are you willing to acknowledge that until you repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus to save you, that you deserve hell and will be sent there? If you believe these things and want to receive Jesus' offer of eternal salvation, then you need to turn to him and ask him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, I thank you so much for your word and your son Jesus. And I pray for those listening today who who do not know you, who still are in their sins, that they would turn from their sin and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation, that they would be saved. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your Son, and it is in his name we pray.
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our New Believers Packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your New Believers Packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family.